Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
So I'm going to introduce to you now a man who really has, under God, made a great difference in the lives of many hundreds, probably thousands of people around the world. He's been in his job for 26 years and the time has come to retire. I'm so glad that he's joining us on Open House to reflect back over a very significant ministry as the principal of the Sydney Missionary and Bible College. David Cook, welcome.
Thanks very much, Lee. Good to be here.
Great to have you with us, David. SMBC, as it's known, I think is one of our most important theological colleges in Australia. For people around the country who might not have heard much about it, give us a bit of an overview, what it is, what it does.
It was founded in 1916, which means it's the oldest existing Bible college now in Australia. It's a Bible college first and foremost, which makes it a missionary training college and a preaching training college. But Bible comes first because we're not concerned to produce cross-cultural missionaries who are very sensitive cross-culturally or preachers who are excellent communicators who are not also clear on the Bible and able to communicate the Bible's content. So it's an interdenominational Bible college, which is also strongly community-based. It was founded in 1916 by a returned missionary from China Inland Mission, and he was concerned on the east coast of Australia to establish a missionary training facility, and it's been going strongly in the same place in Croydon ever since 1916.
Relative to a lot of other principals of a theological college, you must have been very young, because you're not that old now.
No.
When you were appointed as principal, do you remember feeling daunted or intimidated by it?
Yes, I was. I was 37 years old.
Very young.
But I had a very fine chairman, Colin Weekly, who was an older man who had been president of the Bible Society and also secretary of the Water Board and very experienced and a visionary. And so they appointed me, the board appointed me to really give the college more of a profile. And and I was a graduate of the college too. I graduated from there in 1970. So,
not too daunted? Not too intimidated?
It was scary going to the college,
but
it was a much smaller college than it is today.
So how many students then compared to now?
Then there are about 90 students, 80 or 90 students, and all doing a diploma course. Today it's very different. I've lost count of the number of courses we prepare people for, but I haven't lost count of the number of students we have. I think that's a vital component. We've got a lot more students and part-time students as well today, and two campuses.
How's the college, as you viewed it, how's the process of training people for ministry and mission changed? If you took a snapshot of 26 years ago and a snapshot of today, what are the comparisons?
The needs of the world are the same, pretty much as they were then today. The world, I guess, is just a more complex place. Yeah. But training people with the Bible and in preaching and cross-cultural method, I think, pretty much is the same. But I remember in 1990 thinking that our courses were now established, we could get on and build other areas of the college. But there's an incredible change in educational courses available, and so our courses have grown year by year, really, and the offerings we make through our accreditation body, the Australian College of Theology.
Yes. How have those who come to the college changed? The people who are coming through 26 years ago compared to today's students, how have they changed?
In terms of educational background, I think they have changed. When you and I, so I don't know how old you are, Lee, but, you know, probably the same.
Around the same vintage. But I'm not retiring yet.
About a quarter of our generation went to university, but about there's a lot more people going to university today. So these days, over half, probably two-thirds of our students who come to our college already have a first university degree. So that means there's a vast difference.
For you, what are the key issues in training people, Christian people, for ministry today?
I think you've got to have, I do not believe in having a faculty which represents a wide spectrum of opinion in the Christian community. I believe you must have a faculty who are wholeheartedly committed to the integrity of the Bible as the authoritative word of God. That is key, and that must be central, and that must dominate your curriculum. I also think that a key view of humankind is essential, that people need this word from outside of themselves to change them, to bring them to God. I think that is vital as well. But I also think that theological education is not endurable, but ought to be enjoyable. And therefore, I think having a community is vitally important, where people are known, their needs are known, they have a name, and there's a real access between student and faculty. So at SMBC, we have no faculty common room. Faculty have morning tea, lunch, afternoon tea with the students. That's where our place is to be. We deliberately adopt the church model and not the university model. So it would be strange indeed if this morning after church, the pastors went and had their coffee alone in their office and didn't mingle with their congregation.
Yes, indeed.
And yet we're not to tolerate that in our training facilities either,
yeah,
because the training facility is to model what ministry is about, and therefore we are to be out with people.
And I can attest to this. I've had a long association with SMBC. In fact, here's my declaration. I teach my unit of the preaching certificate there, and there is a really lovely vibe about the place. I mean, people are there to do serious work, but it is a place where they like each other and like being there.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely essential, that they are known as people.
Yes. So over the many years and much ministry that you've seen, all the highs and lows that are inevitably part of that, what have been your delights, your challenges, your frustrations over that time?
The delights are always the students and the graduates. At graduation, at the end of every year, seeing 100, 150 people go out into productive Christian service. That's a delight. The area of frustration, I guess, is battling with accreditation bodies and having to teach things that you might think are not so essential for teaching, for preparing people for Christian ministry. I think in all my time I've been associated with growth in ministry, but that's never been related to business principles. And I think one thing that disturbs me is the commercialization of Christian ministries, strategic planning committees, KPIs, performance indicators.
Yep.
People will not feel a loyalty to an institution if they feel they're a statistic and being built into a business model. The best businesses are the ones in which people feel most at home and part of a family. And I think the great thing about SMBC is that it is a family, it is a community. People have a name, they are not a number, and they are not used as a statistic in a growth plan. I was talking to a young man this morning after church who was about to be ordained and go into ministry, and he asked me about intentional leadership and short-term, long-term and medium-term goals. I said I thought it was all nonsense. I've never embraced any of it.
Yes.
I think you need to get back to making sure you don't preach half-baked sermons and get out and visit people and know people, know what their anxieties are and their needs are, know them by name. Now, that is old-fashioned pastoring, and I put it to you that that is still the way we are to go in church ministries today and indeed in college ministries.
Because people are still people.
People are people.
So long may that continue and that light to be shone out of SMBC, I reckon. You mentioned preaching. You've had a particular commitment, I know, to the business of preaching and equipping people to preach. And you are committed to it personally. I mean, I'd invite any of our listeners to listen to the preaching of this bloke. Why has that been a particular passion for you?
Because I think it's vitally important that those going out into ministry can get other people to do lots of other things and cover for them. But if they're going into a central pastoral role, they've got to be able to take the pulpit.
Yes.
And therefore, I think it's essential that they're able to communicate from their heart to the heart of their people. And to do that, they've got to know how to engage the mind through explanation of the biblical text, to apply the text in concrete ways to the will of the people, and thirdly, to reflect the emotion of the text in their own preaching. You see, you cannot get up like a block of wood and expound that text that says in Luke 15, his father saw his son on the horizon and he ran to him and embraced him. And as his son is blurting out his confession, "Oh, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And his father sweeps him off his feet and embraces him and welcomes him home. Now, that is an emotional scene.
Sure.
And the preacher must reflect that emotion,
yes,
in the way he communicates that scene, because God is an emotional God. He loves, he provides, he shepherds, he cares.
There are those in Christian ministry who say, though, that you shouldn't be teaching people how to preach, that it's either a gift or not.
Well, I think partly that's true, but partly it's not true. There is giftedness involved in preaching.
Sure.
But I guarantee, I've been teaching preaching now for 30 years, that there are people who are just remarkably gifted, and I can't really help too much with them. They're just remarkably gifted. It's terrific just to let them go. But there are others who just struggle. And I think you can help them to be better preachers. I'm convinced of that. I've seen people become better preachers.
Yeah. Added to all of what you've been at SMBC has been a very significant role with the Katoomba Christian Convention, which has taken in many thousands of people over many years. What was it about that endeavour that led you to make such a commitment to the work there?
I loved it because it was interdenominational. And I think in Sydney, it's terrific to have people from all across different denominations. For example, at our college, we have 15 different denominations. I think that's wonderful. Love doesn't mean it's non-denominational. We've all got our denominational affiliations. But in an interdenominational work, you take a decision that your denominational affiliation takes one step back, and that our basic unity is in Christ, not in our denomination. I loved Katoomba for that reason. But I also loved it, and primarily because it was setting forth the Bible so that you could be sure you could go to Katoomba and hear the Bible being preached. You were being addressed by God. And that was a remarkable thing, because after every meeting, I'd go down to the front of the convention, and there'd always be people with whom God was dealing as the word was being preached, as the Bible was being preached. And it was a great, therefore, I mean, where else would you want to be?
Yes. Has it been a challenging thing running what is, for SMBC, a quite significant enterprise or business that any college in a way kind of is, and maintaining the heart and soul of Christian ministry that touches the heart as well as the head? Has that been a challenging balance to maintain?
It's a very difficult balance, and I figure that it's a good time to retire because the college is getting bigger and bigger. I go and have breakfast most days with the students, lunch every day with the students. You've got to keep in contact with them. You've got to know them by name. And I think we've just developed a second faculty, a second campus, and it's getting bigger and bigger. And I think it's time that, you know, I've got to move on from this because I don't know that I can cope anymore. But I think you've got to you need the business people in the background, as long as they're in the background, to support what you're doing.
Yeah.
That it basically is a community and it is a family, and this is where we train. And I think it's vitally important. People must feel cared for and loved so that they can go out and care for others and love others as they were cared for and loved in their college training.
Yeah. Can I ask you a personal question? How have you maintained the freshness of your own faith amidst your many responsibilities and a lot of output?
I think very important that in our family, our family has lived in the middle of the college for 18 years. And therefore, we've had a strong... I'm very grateful for my wife.
I was going to mention the wonderful, delightful, amazing Maxine.
Yeah, so Cook. She keeps reminding me to read the Bible and do the basics well.
Okay? Wives are good like that.
And I think that's very important.
Yes.
And so that's important. And I've had faculty members who also keep me on task like that. And also students. I mean, the quality of the students at the college, it's a great privilege to be dealing with people of all age groups who are keen for the Lord Jesus. It's great.
So tell me, David Cook, what now?
Oh, well, my mother passed away 2 years ago and worked, I think, up till a couple of months before she died at the age of 92. So, Lord willing, Maxine and I are of robust health. We're going to be spending half a year as the pastoral assistant at Chinese Presbyterian Church in Surry Hills. We're going to spend a month a year with Pioneers as the missionary organisation as preacher at large, month a year with the Christchurch School of Preaching, a month a year at the Malaysian School of Preaching, and then a couple of months with Proclamation Trust and St Helens Church of England in London. So looking forward to all those things.
Don't talk to me about retiring. I'm so glad that you will have such a continued busy ministry, an important ministry.
We're looking forward to it. We're excited about it.
David Cook, I'm so glad to have you in on Open House tonight. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Lee.
And every blessing for a kind of working retirement.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
All the best.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.